This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hi, I'm Julia Brufke-Wanger, founder of Phoenix Tax Consultants, home of the Tax Tacklers. It's tax season, and I genuinely understand the complications and frustrations that go into preparing to file. I believe that taxes should not be a do-it-yourself activity. You should leave it to the professionals. My team of next-level tax experts can help you find a new way to do your taxes and a strategy to get top results. Schedule your virtual or in-person appointment today at TaxTacklers.com.
11:04 on this beautiful Thursday midday. Mark Malus is with you in for BT and Sal. 888-808-1019, your number to call. Albert Breer will join us. Talk a little NFL coming your way, top of the noon hour. Take you right up until 2 o'clock this afternoon. A lot of Giants, a lot of Rodgers. Waiting game still on. You're going to continue to wait until Rodgers makes a decision because he's the best possible option out there for the, you know, the two big teams that are interested. Obviously, the Steelers and the Giants. Get into a little Yankees baseball because of they've been just ravaged by injury. And I was thinking about this, you know, as I was sitting in traffic trying to get here from Stamford, Connecticut this morning. It took me about an hour and 45 minutes. Fantastic. Love it. Great drive down. Anyway, I was thinking about this driving down. Like, we are on potential of this being an interesting summer in this city in this way, where it does become, as Soto talked about his introductory presser at Citi Field, a Mets town and not a Yankee town. Now, I understand the American League stinks. And I understand that, you know, the Yankees can still win the American League East or could still get into the playoffs in the American League, and they probably still will, even with Stan dealing with the elbows, even with, you know, Cole being done for the year, heel shut down for the next 3 months dealing with that lat strain. The fact that you've got a left fielder in Dominguez that can't field, you still are, you know, you're battling between Peraza and Cabrera as far as who's going to be your third baseman. Austin Wells is hitting cleanup. You're leaning into a 37-year-old Paul Goldschmidt at first base, and then you got Cody Bellinger. What version of Cody Bellinger are you going to get? Are you going to get the really good Bellinger, or are you going to get the guy that's hitting 206? Like, you look at this team, but we are on the precipice. And I'll get to the Yankees and what Cashman had to say the other day in just a moment. We are on the precipice here. There's an opportunity. As Soto talked about this being a Met town, and the Yankee fans laughed after he signed that $765 million deal. And then he's telling everybody recently that the Mets weren't the greatest offer. Well, they were the biggest offer, but let's not let the narrative change here. We're on the precipice of the Mets potentially owning this town this summer. There is that possibility. And Yankee fans, even though you kick and scream and want to kick the wall and the window and all those things and get upset and get bothered by it, we are on the possibility of that. Because here's the problem you have for the Yankees. The Yankees were built around that starting rotation with Cole, with Fried, and with Heel being your top three guys. Now you go out there and you take Cole out of the mix, Fried is in. Bumps him up to being the number one rotation starter. Heel is done for the next 3 months with that lat strain. What version of Luis Heel are you going to get when he does return? Now everybody moves up. Now it's a battle between Carlos Rodon or Marcus Stroman in terms of who is going to be your opening day starter. Remember when it was a storyline about Marcus Stroman not showing up on time and him not being happy with his role with this team and not being a starter and being the sixth man? Marcus Stroman is now the Yankees, potentially their number three starter, and could be starting on opening day. The Yankees were built in 2025 to prevent runs, not score runs, to prevent them. And now you go out there and you take Cole out of the mix, you take Heel out of the mix, and then you got Cashman the other day. As the Yankees are going to get, what, $27 million back due to insurance on the Gerrit Cole contract, and say, well, the answers, at least from now, are going to have to come from within. But they're not coming from the outside. I get it. Desperate, right? Chum in the water. You call an opposing team, they're going to want to go out there and rip you off. The San Diego Padres are now not going out there dangling Dylan Cease or Michael King out there. I understand it. You don't necessarily have to go out there and make that move now. But exactly explain to me, when you look at this team, where the Yankees number coming into it, before the Cole injury news, I think they were set at about 93.5 wins, right? Where's that number now? 91, 92, whatever it might be, it obviously has taken a dip. When you look at this team now, and you look at this starting rotation, tell me how they're good enough. Back into the bullpen's good enough, Devin Williams, no doubt about it. Swing and miss stuff, learn from the mistake. You go out there and, you know, Clay Holmes is now starting the starting rotation for the New York Mets. Williams coming off the, you know, the bad performance against the Mets for the Milwaukee Brewers, but Williams with that devastating off-speed pitch, you'll be really good in pinstripes. But when you look at this lineup, when you look at this lineup, who exactly is going to pitch to Aaron Judge in any big-time spot, in any spot whatsoever? It is not all that long ago when you look at the Yankees and you say to yourself, well, last year, Soto and Judge covered up for an extreme amount of warts on this Yankee team. The brilliance of those two. When you had a lineup that had two of the top three hitters in the entire sport, they're going to do that. Now look at this group. And I had Yankee fans, and you know I grew up a Yankee fan, telling me, well, I mean, you look at it, they're going to replace Soto in the aggregate. Nonsense! And by the way, if you're a Yankee fan, stop embarrassing yourself and talking about Soto's defense. I don't care. Stop it. We're intelligent in this city, are we not? Stop embarrassing yourself. I don't want to see another tweet about it. I don't want to see another post. He'll misplay some balls out in right field. You know what? He's going to also go out there and hit a ton. He is a great player. And he decided to take the money and run. And I don't care. I really don't. It doesn't necessarily bother me. What bothers me is how the Yankees now go out there and react when Cashman's telling you, you know, you could even circle back to last year with Hal. When he hopped on Jack Curry's podcast and is telling you that he'd like to begin negotiations with Juan Soto now, and then a week later he's out in the MLB offices outside in Manhattan telling the media that it's not sustainable to have a payroll north of $300 million. See, that's the difference here. We've gotten into the conversations before about grading out success and how the Yankees look at a successful season. The Yankees make money. Don't worry about that. Don't make money. People show up to the Bronx. But it's going to be different this year because if the Yankees aren't careful, the Mets are going to be in a big-time play. The Mets last year, I believe, were 17th, 18th, 19th, right around that number in terms of attendance. That is going to drastically change this year. And even though there are a lot of fans out there, a lot of sports fans, that are true, you know, die in the wool, whether it be a Met fan, whether it be a Yankee fan. There are a lot of sports fans that go to the big event, that want to be part of the magic, want to be a part of the vibe, want to be part of everything that's going on, want to be at the hot ticket in town. Right now, when you look at it, what's the hot ticket in town going to be in the summer? Is it going to be the Mets or is it going to be the Yankees? That's where the Yankees got to be careful. That's the scenario here because you look at that Met, even though the National League is decidedly different, decidedly stronger. When you look at the Dodgers, obviously their win total is north of 100 on the season. You look at the Dodgers, you look at the Mets, you look at the Philadelphia Phillies, you look at the Atlanta Braves. It's decidedly more difficult in the National League to get through come playoff time as compared to the American League. And the Yankees don't necessarily need to address the starting rotation now. They don't. But tell me how everything is all hunky-dory now when you're plugging Will Warren into the starting rotation based on the fact of how he's pitched in the spring. Yes, I love the messaging from Boone saying, well, we've got to adjust. We have to deal with injuries. We didn't have Cole last year for the start of the season. That's true. You've lost him for the entirety. And who knows how long when Gerrit Cole will exactly return to this Yankee starting rotation. But if you deal with the here and now, as Aaron Judge is another year older, you look at this group now, how are they decidedly better? A team that was built around the strength of their starting rotation, you take two of their top three starters out of it, and you say that everything's going to be A-OK? before the Cole injury news, before the heel injury news, you looked at this Yankee lineup, they were a bat short. And you look at this lineup now, without Soto's in Queens, without Stanton, who is, you know, I don't know how many more rounds of PRP shots he's going to get, but we're up to three. You take Stanton out of the mix, and you say to yourself, ah, you know what, everything's fine. We're going to be great. It's going to be all hunky-dory. Don't worry about it. All's good. Oh, by the way, Yankees, they can grow beards now. And we're going to change the song at the end of games. It's no longer going to be Frank after wins and losses. And Yankee fans in this city are celebrating. They've won a World Series since 09. That's what this offseason has been. That is what it has been. So a team that got embarrassed and then got dragged by the Dodgers, Joe Kelly in particular, after they lost that World Series, lose Soto in free agency, bring in Fried, overpay for him. Get it? Understand it? Like it. Built it the starting rotation. Now, thank God they signed Max Fried, or else it would be basically Carlos Rodon, Marcus Stroman, and his band of merry men. You got Goldschmidt at 37. You've got Bellinger. Both those guys happy to be here. Fantastic. Great. What version of those two players are you going to get? And where is the Judge protection in this lineup? It is non-existent. That's where the Yankees are. But at least now, they can have well-manicured beards. They're hip. They're cool. They're with it. I mean, that presser with Hal a couple weeks ago was strange. It really was. And now you look at this group and you say, well, if you're the Yankees, at one point in time, they were dubbed the Evil Empire by Larry Lucchino. Those days are long gone. Those are the Los Angeles Dodgers now. The Evil Empire, Darth Vader, all that kind of stuff, that is in Los Angeles. That's beautiful Chavez Ravine. That is the Dodgers. That is no longer the Yankees. The answer is, don't worry, because the Yankees are tremendous at developing their own talent. I say that sarcastically, for those that don't pick up on it. I say that sarcastically. I don't want to see a tweet. I said that sarcastically. The answers for Cole, they'll come from within. Will Warren. Opening day starter, it's a debate. Flip the coin. Rodon or Stroman? And if you're a Judge, you're looking around the room and you're saying, man, this is different than 24. I'll tell you that. I know he's good buddies with Goldschmidt. By the way, Dominguez, how much work did he do in left field in the offseason? It is almost like you took Pete Hoffman and you stuck him out there in left field. Guy looks like he's never tracked a fly ball. I was talking to Dove before the show. It's like, how do you look in center? I got, according to scouts, he was okay. Left field, it's like, he has no idea. He's terrible. No Stanton, no heel, no Cole. Answers from within, Yankees 2025. Grow the beards, grow the hair, can no longer be past shoulder length, and we're no longer playing Frank New York, New York after losses. State of the Yankees, 11:16. Malus is with you. 888-808-1019. Come back with your busy calls next. All right, 11:23 on this Thursday midday. Mark Malus is with you. In for BT and Sal, 888-808-1019, your number to call. Let's head out to Carl Place. Ricky, the fan. What's up, Ricky?
Hey, what's up, Malus? How you doing today?
Good, man. How are you?
Okay, I want to make a Yankee point. I don't know if anyone has brought this up yet, but one of the things I thought of is why don't they see if they could sign maybe Alex Verdugo? I know he didn't do so great with the bat last year, but he gives you solid defense and left. Therefore, you can play Dominguez at DH to replace right now Stanton, who you don't know when he's going to get back into the lineup.
No, slow
and
healer.
And if anything, what's that?
Slow healer, historically a
right,
slow
exactly.
healer.
Right, exactly. And he's getting older, so he's not going to heal that much faster as he's aging. I believe he's 35 years old now. So you put Verdugo in left. You put Dominguez at DH, at least for the time being, so he can concentrate just on hitting. He doesn't have to worry about playing left field, which has not exactly been so great. And then I even thought, what about third base? There's a guy in Colorado. I know he's not a free agent. His last name is McMahon.
Yeah.
Okay. And he's not, it wouldn't cost you an arm and a leg to go for him. probably like a middling type prospect. Wouldn't cost you one of your top prospects. Okay,
I think
he might be rejuvenated.
Yeah,
he might be rejuvenated and more conscious, you know, in playing for the Yankees. That might inspire him a bit. You look at his stats last year, not overwhelmingly great, but for a guy, you know, he hit around 25 doubles. He batted around 240. He hit around 19 to 20 home runs. That's a lot better than what you're going to get from Cabrera and Peraza, I can tell you that.
Yeah, Ricky, this is it. What you got is what you got for now. I don't think they're going to go down, and I don't think they're going to bring back their left fielder from a year ago. I don't think they're making a trade with Colorado. I think Cashman, whether you like it or not, told you basically what it is. Like, that's it. Like, and that's okay. He was up front. He was open. He was honest. He told you, when he was asked specifically about Gerrit Cole, I don't think the Yankees are doing anything. I said it months ago when I was, you know, on the Sunday show. I think we did an extra hour before my football show on Sundays and talked a lot of Yankees during that hour and got a number of Yankee fans calling up saying, what are they going to do at third? And this is when Bregman was still available. I was like, I think this is it. And this is it. Like, I don't think the Yankees are going to make a, I don't think they had any interest in Nolan Arenado based on, you know, how they, you know, their scouts and, you know, the word on Arenado out of St. Louis. I don't think they're making a trade with Colorado. I didn't think they were signing, you know, Bregman. And this is it. So, you know, and the Yankees are going to draw. I mean, that's it. I mean, and, you know, Hal's not worried about fans showing up. Fans are going to show up. What do you got, Pete?
I have an argument with the Ryan McMahon stuff because I know people suggested him all last season, but after the trade deadline, he was awful.
What was his numbers after the trade deadline?
After the trade deadline, he batted 189 and OPS of 569.
It's terrible.
I mean, you can get him. That's great. Maybe he's a better defender than some guys, but are you going to trade draft picks for Ryan McMahon and those numbers?
You can't trade picks, but I get the point. You're not going to trade
prospects, yeah.
You're right. Correct. I don't think the Yankees are doing anything right now. I think they're going to take a wait-and-see approach. I think what the Yankees are going to lean in on is this. The American League stinks. So we don't necessarily have to be great now. We'll improve this team when we need to during the course of the regular season. We're good enough to get to where, put us in a point at the MLB trade deadline and or before where this team shows you that they deserve reinforcements and will reinforce then. They're not in a position where, I think even with the Cole news, the heel news, the stat news, where the Yankees are waking up on a, you know, a Thursday down in Tampa today saying to themselves, well, we're not going to make the playoffs in the American League. They still think they're good enough, and they probably are still good enough to get there. Now, if you say, well, Moose, like, the goal is to win a World Series, is this team a World Series winning roster as we speak? The answer to that is no. No, they're not. And it's not really particularly close. Like, it's not close. There need to be reinforcements at some point. Floral Park we go. It's Ken. It's the fan. What's going on, Ken?
Moose, how you doing, buddy?
Ken, I'm doing well, man. How are you?
Good. Great great monologue on the Yankees. I did not hear Cashman's comments the other day, and I'm like befuddled. If they're getting $27 million back for Cole, why aren't they using that money to improve the team? I don't get that.
Well, anybody that would be appetizing to go add, that would be a strict financial deal, is already gone. And the the marketplace for pitchers to go make a trade isn't there presently.
So even just to take on salary in a trade to enhance salary, like some kind of crazy trade that, I mean, I heard a rumor about Castillo the other day. I don't know if you heard that they would go to Seattle for that.
Castillo, Sandy Alcantara from the Miami Marlins. Yeah. And then you've also got the luxury tax threshold, the tax at the end is for when you surpass it, you're paying like, you know, 50% above the number. One and a half times.
Yeah, but they're getting $27 million back.
I get it.
Yeah.
But that doesn't come off of it.
I see. Okay. All right. Thank you.
That's the issue you have. I think right now I think the Yankees will add at some point. I do. You know? I'm curious to see how maybe the next thing to distract us all, maybe the Yankees will unveil a third jersey. That'd be great. Like, just be like, you know, yeah. We're going to adapt to modern times. Because as Hal said a number of weeks ago, if he ever came to find out that a player didn't sign in New York because they couldn't grow a beard, it would really bother him. That's the Yankee way. That's where we're at here in 2025. Tell me the player. But listen, It's like throwing red meat to the wolves. The Yankee fan wanted it. They got it. So guys can go out there and they can grow some facial hair. Grow their hair a little bit longer, be themselves, show a little personality. Fantastic. Great. Lawrence, Oklahoma City. What's going on, Lawrence?
Hey, thanks for getting me on.
You got it, buddy. What's on your mind?
So on behalf of the Giants, how I'm feeling is it's...
What does it take to change the course of lung disease? It takes groundbreaking research in pursuit of new therapies. It takes the world's leading experts in complex pulmonary conditions focused on restoring patients' quality of life. It takes visionaries to improve treatment options for even the most advanced disease. To lead lung care forward across our region and the world, it takes Temple Health.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I just hate everything about them. You know, I hate the coach. I hate the GM. They've made us no better. They've been here for 3 years. Who would they draft for us? They drafted us, what, Evan Neal, Banks, Thibodeau, and then and Malik. I could have picked a wide receiver from LSU and told you that would have been a good move. So now we're supposed to trust them with picking the quarterback in the draft this year. I think the best case scenario will be that they just pick Abdul Carter if he's available. And Aaron Rodgers goes signs in Pittsburgh. We're stuck with Jameis Winston, and we stuck for a whole nother year, so we can fire everybody. And that's really where I'm at. And I think I'm losing. Am I crazy? But that might be the best case scenario.
Well, Lawrence, you can be frustrated. I'm not going to tell you that you should have the utmost confidence in the duo of Shane and Daboll based on results. It's a results oriented business when you're looking at the National Football League. So I'd be foolish to do so. They're the men in place. They're making the decisions in terms of moving forward. They missed on Evan Neal. Now the question is, do you move him inside to try and get something out of Evan Neal because he can't go out there and play tackle? Thibodeau's a good player. I think Banks last year.
Evan Neal go to Timbuktu.
Well, I think Banks was a scenario a year ago where it was more the system and his focus as well. They've got to get that going. But I like what they've done in this offseason, addressing the cornerback position, addressing the safety position. I think both those young men are both players. Now it's up to Shane Bowen to figure out a defense to go out there and stop some people and be a little bit more creative than he was a year ago. For Daboll here is, yeah, you're taking a shot with Aaron Rodgers. If it's going to be a quarterback, Like, I wholeheartedly believe the Giants are going to address the quarterback spot in the NFL draft. Now, maybe they like somebody in the second or third round better. I think they're going to address the quarterback early in the first round, would be my gut, would be my sense. So I don't, and I think the addition of a veteran quarterback will not impact that in any way, shape, or form. But here's the deal. If you're the Giants, regardless of how this year, like, and you hope it looks a lot better, show sign of progress, light at the end of the tunnel, pick a cliche, right? Things are turning around. Like, that's what makes the NFL so different than every other league, is that you can go from ineptitude to relevancy very, very quickly in one offseason. Good free agency, good draft, quarterback play, all those things, right? Coaching change, we've seen it. You saw it last year with the Washington Commanders. But for the Giants here, they can't do, and if you do address the quarterback position early in the draft, and say, for argument's sake, you make a trade with the Tennessee Titans and you end up with the number one overall pick and you draft Cam Ward coming out of Miami. Doesn't matter the player. Ward, Sanders Ward, does not matter in the context of this conversation or this argument. You cannot do what the Chicago Bears did. Now, you might say, well, Caleb Williams in a better situation here now with Ben Johnson running things. They've solidified the offensive line this offseason, and he's going to hit the ground running in year two. What you don't want to do, though, and it would not be good for the development of a young quarterback, is changing things all of a sudden going into year two. Now, Williams started from the word go. The Jets signed, go out there and add Aaron Rodgers. You would imagine, obviously, it'll be hard-pressed to think anything differently, that he's going to get the ball for all of 2025 as long as he stays upright, and one of these two young quarterbacks are going to learn under his guys and his guidance, and then you move forward. Max in Bayside. What's going on, Max?
How are you, Moose? Big fan. I had a question. If you were running the Yanks, would you have let Cole walk? Because we're hearing now that the Yankees actually did have an out. And I love Garrett Cole. I'm a huge Yankee fan. But Blake Snell was sitting in free agency. You knew he had an elbow issue. So I think you could have improved the team and actually just let him walk.
Yeah, you could have after he opted out. And then he said, no, I'm just kidding. I'm not opting out, when the Yankees had no, you know, did not want to negotiate and give him a bigger contract that he was looking for. Yeah, you could have. And I think if Cole, I would say, I would put it to you this way, Max. If Cole really did opt out, the Yankees would have said, you know, thanks. We're going to move forward without you.
But then he
pulled it back. Then he pulled it
well,
back.
What I heard yesterday from Buster Olney was that actually he called Hal and re-signed for the same money. So he said that Yankees could have 100% walked away.
I got you. I didn't see that from Buster yesterday.
Yeah, but I would have let him walk. I love him. I do, but you knew he had an issue.
Well, in hindsight's 20/20. I don't think the Yankees knew, to be honest with you, but you can call it into question. I mean, Stanton had elbow issues toward the tail end of last year. They went through the offseason, did nothing about it. Then he started ramping up. I wonder what his ramp-up looks like, and now he's dealing with tennis elbow in both elbows, and he's had three rounds of PRP injections. So we can get into the Yankee medical, you know, and their training staff and how they handle things and what they did and what did not know. And did they think that Cole, if we're going to go on the argument there that the Yankees knew he was, say, an argument that he was a ticking time bomb, and it played out the way, and I didn't see the Olney report yesterday. Buster does a great job. If he reported it, I would imagine that it's true. Then the Yankees would not have re-signed him. I mean, but, you know, hindsight's 20/20. He tore his UCL. He's done for the year. Elbow surgery the other day out in Los Angeles. We'll see him at some point in 2026. Plainview we go. It's Anthony. What's going on, Anthony?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Anthony. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing good, man. I'm listening to the radio, and I heard some crazy comments about letting Garrett Cole walk. I think that's absurd. The guy's a Cy Young pitcher. He's been great. He carries us in the playoffs every year.
Really?
And then
carries you where?
Yeah, you know, he carried us into the World Series this year. Now he gets hurt, and we don't want to let him walk. Come on.
Well, no. It's not walking now. He's not going anywhere.
No.
It was last offseason.
I know. No, I understand.
It was last offseason.
No, I understand that point. Yeah, in the last offseason. Oh, why didn't we let him walk last offseason? How could you let him walk?
It really doesn't deserve any more further conversation. It's really kind of the horse is out of the barn. What's done is done. Now it's a matter of how you react as a franchise. What do you do now?
Oh, I agree.
Yankees can tell you all is well, next man up mentality. Well, there's a difference in talent. Talent is talent.
This is the worst I've seen. This is, it's going to be culture shock for the New York Yankees in 2025.
I don't think they're going to be as bad as you think they're going to be, Anthony. Thanks a lot for the call. But I don't think they're going to be, you know, barnstormers. Like, I don't think they're winning 97, 98, 99 games. I don't think they're going to be that. Let's head out to Elmwood Park, New Jersey. Mario, what's up, Mario?
Hello, Mr. Malus. Thank you for taking my call.
You got it. Mr. Malus, this is my dad. You can just call me Mark. What's going on, Mario?
Okay, Mark. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Mark, you just hit the nail on the head, or the hammer on the nail, whichever way you look at that. You know, because you said that the fans are going to come in no matter what.
Oh, yeah.
That means they're going to keep lining their pockets with money because they're a bunch of money grubbers. And the Yankees, Malus, will never, ever win a championship because they don't care about winning. They don't give a damn about the fans. They don't know how to run anything. Trey Sweeney and Josh Smith could have been Yankees for absolutely almost nothing. And they were, you know who they were? Ex-Yankees that were in the farm system that Brian Cashman traded away. And now we need them.
Well, Mario, like I've had this conversation before about what is success, and I think it's changed. Hal does not want to be his dad, George. He doesn't want to be reactionary, irrational, some of those things. We look back on George as a Yankee owner, and more people look back on him, as we do when we lose loved ones or, you know, people in life. You know, you look back on all the good things, right? And there's, you know, there were negatives to George as a Yankee owner. I mean, they're just, and those are all well documented. But Hal doesn't want to be that. I think Hal cares. I think Hal cares about a winning product, entertaining product. He wants the ballpark packed. He wants all those things. He'll tell you he's bothered. But as I said earlier, like, the actions are the actions. And he did. He entered those negotiations with Soto, loaded deck for the Mets and Steve Cohen, because Cohen was always going to offer more money. So Cohen was not going to lose that battle for a player that they had targeted for well over a year. I think, Hal, what the Yankees have shown you is they're an unbelievable business. Good to be the Yankee managing general partner. They print money year in and year out. People want to show up to the ballpark and watch the Yankees go out there and play in the Bronx. You present enough star power, a winning product. The Yankees, even with all these injuries, as I said earlier this half hour, the Yankees are still going to be a playoff team. But is that good enough? That's really where it comes down to. Is that good enough? How do you grade out success? Well, if you're a business, success is making money. The Yankees are successful. If you're looking at championships, not so much. And that used to be it, right? So there's the famous interview that I think Derek Jeter did with Harold Reynolds a number of years ago, where he's talking, Harold asked him when he was retiring, like, what were your greatest years? And he rang off the years they won championships. 96, 98, 99, 2000, 2009. All the other years were failures. It's a team sport. I don't care about individual honors. Those were my best years. That used to be the mantra with the Yankees. No more. That's fine. That's where you need to adjust as a fan. It is what it is. Or otherwise, you're just banging out your head up against the wall. You'll eventually end up with a massive headache. But that's where the Yankees are. Like, that's where it is right now. And they've adjusted to the times, as we know. Dove could be able to don that Yankee uniform now. And he's got a full beard. Beautiful beard. I miss Dove. When I walked in today and I saw that thick, lustrous gray beard right around the corner, I knew I was looking at Dove Kramer. It's beautiful.
Is it well groomed enough?
It is. I think it is. I think you'd pass muster. I think you'd be A-okay. 1140. Malus is with you. 888-808-1019. Now, Pete, I got a question for you. Because this is one that does bother me a little bit, right? But I got a question for you.
Okay.
And you do a great job with the Bronya podcast with Evan.
Oh, thank you.
You're a huge Met fan, right? Met fan through and through.
Mm-hmm.
Why does it have to be anything else other than just money for Soto?
What do you mean?
You know what I mean. Why does it have to do the interview the other day where he's talking about there was another team that had offered more money, would not name the team. When he got introduced out at Citi Field, it was about family. You know, people brought up the security guard at Yankee Stadium. you know, the, you know, the everything that came along with it. And listen, I told you, I told everybody that he was going to go out there and take the most money. Why can't it just be about money? Like, it's okay. Like, that's, it's all right. You took the most money. Everyone wants to make more. We all want to make more. It's expensive to live. Like, we get all that. But why can't it just be, hey, listen, they offered me the most money. I was able to stay in New York. I'm happy they paid me the kind of contract. It's good to be Juan Soto. It's good to be a New York Met. I'm guaranteed $765 million. Why can't it just be about that?
There's a sting behind it. There's a sting. As a Met fan, there's a sting behind it. Because you wonder why Carlos Beltran, when he was a Met, when he signed that contract, he went back to the Yankees and said, hey, listen, I'll take less money to go to you guys. And he's like, no, no, it's okay. Go to the Mets. And that felt dirty. That felt wrong. And this is kind of like the only reason why he's here for the Mets is because of the money.
It's great, though.
No, right. No, we have
for him. For years. Dove can attest to this. Like, for years, I sat there. I screened calls from Mike and Chris complaining about Fred Wilpon, Jeff Wilpon, and Saul Katz that they wouldn't spend. Now you have a guy that's going out there and spending money. He gave Soto $765 million. Like, what's the big deal? Yes, you're a big player in the game now.
It feels better when someone says, I wanted to come to you no matter what.
Oh, come on.
You know that.
That's just not true. That's not true. People make decisions based on money. And listen, I think that's like Soto is the kind of player that's going to be great no matter where he plays. Like, you could stick him on Mars. You could stick him on the moon. Juan Soto is an unbelievable offensive player. And he's going to be great. I don't think the money is going to change him. I think he's going to work just as hard today as he did, you know, a year ago today.
Yes. Still a questionable right fielder, but great
hitters. Like, people. Like, stop. I don't need to see the spring training videos. I know people on social media, we all have got too much time on our hands, or maybe we waste too much time on social media, but enough with the videos of him misplaying balls in right field. Like, why? Give me the video then when he hits a ball 430 feet, like a moonshot to give the Mets the lead in the seventh inning. Give me that home run against Cleveland last year in the playoffs for the Yankees. Chris in the Bronx, what's going on, Chris?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for getting me on. I just wanted to comment on, you had mentioned that, you know, you don't understand how that the Yankee fans aren't maybe a little bit more pressed because all these things are happening. And I think that's just a narrative that comes from the non-Yankee fan. You know, yeah, want us to be pressed. And, you know, when Cashman makes a comment saying that, you know, we're going to look for solutions within, you know, you almost say that with sarcasm, but why don't we get the same rope that other, you know, exactly. Why don't we get the same rope that other teams do when last year a happy surprise was Luis Gil? You know what I mean? So we've shown that we've been able to do Luis it when Gil. Our men go down. Luis Gil, when Cole went down, you know, we looked for within, and he was a happy surprise for us.
He was.
Why don't we get the same rope?
Chris, what's the difference between this year and last year?
Right now, it's looking a little similar. And last year, we made the World Series. Cole went down, unfortunately. And now we have Will Warren that's going to come and fill the spot, and we're going to see, you know, we're going to see what happens with that, you know. But we don't get the same.
Why
doesn't Warren get the same respect Luis Gil got? Right, you know I mean, Chris, we didn't know that was going to happen.
Okay, so let's just bring up the Yankees last year were built around their lineup. This year they were built around their starting rotation. Even with Judge, they're built around their starting rotation. Correct, going into it before the rash of injuries were hit. Last year was built around the lineup. The Mets suffered injuries and when it comes to their starting rotation. People aren't running around the city like their hair's on fire. Why? Because they're built around their lineup. Lindor, Soto, Alonso, Vientos, top four, Nimmo, top five is good. You know, even with Alvarez suffering the broken bone in his left hand, like, not a big deal, right? Because you look at the top five of that lineup. The way that the team is constructed, where those injuries take place, then gives you either more significant concern or less concern. You should be concerned about the Yankees. Now, you say, well, the Yankees, what helps them, it's not a great American League. Yeah, okay, that's fair. I mean, Boston should be better. I mean, Tampa is what Tampa is. You know, you've got the Baltimore Orioles. You look at the complexion of the American League East. You know, before the Cole injury news came out, I think the Yankees were the second best betting favorite behind the Los Angeles Dodgers. And it was a significant gap. It was 5 points. The Dodgers were 3-1 to win the World Series. The Yankees were 8-1. I mean, that is a significant gap between the two teams. Just look at the Dodgers' win total. It's north of 100 games this season. The Yankees can still make the playoffs. And you might say, well, Mark, the argument now is, well, how does this team react? Yes, I agree with you. How does this team react? But it can go really off the rails very, very quickly if one player gets hurt. Like, you take Judge out of this Yankee lineup, the Yankees are a bad baseball team. I mean, that's it. I mean, they just don't, they're not going to be particularly good. Like, and that's where last year you had the Judge insurance with Soto. You don't have that insurance anymore. And if Judge is healthy, and cross the fingers, I hope he is, Judge is also going to get pitched around time and time again this upcoming MLB regular season. Let's head out to Catskills, and it's Catskill Bob, of course.
You make me laugh, Moose. I tell you what, I agree with you with the Yankees. You're spot on also with the Giants. And I think the thing that you haven't mentioned is the strength of the Giants. They did very good, like you mentioned, in on special teams, on the defensive sides, especially signing the cornerback, safety, and the defensive line that they stole away from the Cowboys, and also the swing tackles in on the offensive line. But the strength of their, really, if I'm a GM, is they got four picks in the first 99 selections. They got an extra third with the picks. They got two third-round picks. And then in the fourth round, they're picking 105. And if they do get Aaron Rodgers, which I think they're going to get, and the strength would be I would trade down from the number three pick, either that or take the best person available there, not a quarterback, and get another number one pick next year, and also get another lower number one pick this year, maybe a second or third round pick, which I think is the strength of the draft is in the second, third, and fourth round. So I think the Giants are in a terrific spot, and that's what I would tell Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, no, I get it, Bob. I do, and appreciate it. I would probably address the quarterback position. You talked about moving down if there's a team that's really interested, or if you're going to go on the argument that Abdul Carter and if the two best players in this draft are not corners, Hunter and Carter, are not quarterbacks, then the Giants potentially would have the opportunity, if they're not aggressive, and move up for one of those quarterbacks. What do I think the Giants do? Like I mentioned earlier, I think the Giants are going to address the quarterback position early in the draft. And what you hope is the momentum that Shane and company had off of last year's draft continues in this year's draft. Because last year's draft, part and parcel, probably saved his job. 11:55, Malusis with you. Come back. Albert Breer will join the program.
KYW News Radio and Deborah Heart and Lung Center team up to discuss arrhythmia, diagnosis, treatment, and management. Here's Rasa Kay.
Arrhythmias that occur in the top part of the heart can be merely distracting or quite serious, such as atrial fibrillation in the atria, which carries a risk for stroke. But cardiac electrophysiologist Dr. Rafael Corbizero says the most concerning rhythm disorder occurs in the ventricle.
The bottom part has some arrhythmias. The most significant one is ventricular fibrillation, which is the cause of sudden cardiac death, which is the number one cause of death in this country. It almost outweighs all cancers combined. Unfortunately, that could be the first presentation of heart disease, is sudden death. A small percentage of patients who show up with their first heart attack have sudden death, an arrhythmia problem, and that's devastating.
Learn more at DeboraHealthReport.com.
New Jersey's only heart, lung, and vascular specialty hospital, Deborah Heart and Lung Center. When it's your heart, demand Deborah.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
When you get a cancer diagnosis, your world stops. But not Fox Chase Cancer Center. When the science moves quickly, we move quicker. Because cancer is all we do. From the molecular level to the human level, we stay focused on your unique cancer. Not just following the science, but discovering new paths forward. Giving you a head start on better outcomes. Learn more at foxchase.org/where you start. Because where you start matters.
Odyssey celebrates St. Patrick's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.